It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski will visit with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Underwriting for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there's so much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, hope you are ready for a great year full of Bearcat successes. I'm pleased to welcome you to the September edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. Segment one will be focused on the great work of the Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation Group and what they're doing for businesses across our area. Our guests today include Kelly Morris and Joe Lowkemper. In segment two, we feature Dr. Timothy Mote, Northwest's new provost and chief academic officer, and one of our new faculty members, Dr. Tyler Tapps. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin this month's program, I welcome Kelly Morris and Joe Lowkemper to All Things Northwest. The Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation is an awesome group, ladies and gentlemen. And instead of me reading about it and talking about it, I thought I'd just kind of launch and talk to Joe and Kelly about the history of Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation. Certainly, Kelly, welcoming you as the facilitator, and Joe, your role long-term with the group, and certainly it's some things going on. So first of all, Kelly, Joe, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you for having us, Dr. Jasinski. It's nice to be here.
Thank you.
Well, Kelly, I'll start with you. You're new. You're brand new to Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation. So I'll give you a little practice. For our listeners, what is Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation? Then we'll talk about you after that.
Okay. We are a grassroots organization that really just wants to focus on rural America, rural communities, and sustaining life and work in those areas. So we work with entrepreneurs on building or expanding their businesses in a free and confidential way.
Okay. That's very succinct. And what you do is cut across many entities, kinds of businesses, if you will, and across many communities. Joe, the group has been around for a while. Talk about its origins.
Well, it started several years ago. People contacted me and other business leaders in the six county area. And basically, there was a group called Sparks of Hope, which basically was kind of formed out of a Catholic charities group, which nothing that we do today is denominational or really religion-based or faith-based. But it was people who had a genuine passion and concern for helping their fellow men and helping the communities in the rural areas. There seems to be a lot of exodus and decline in the small towns and not a lot of great opportunities there. So they identified, because all of us were from small towns, that we needed some help to try to turn things around. And someone had heard about a business model from a guy by the name of Ernesto Ciroli out of Italy. And they got the people together, and he spoke and listened to them. And, you know, by a show of hands, how many people here are interested in doing something like this, albeit it required raising some money to buy the program. It required training and time to be involved in the program. But there were enough people there with the passion, and I think there must have been over 200 people at that meeting. It was here in Maryville. And I believe there was like 70 or 80 people that stepped forward, and that formed the basis of the group. And since that time, We've added a lot of board members, and it's more than people with a passion. It's people who also bring some abilities in those communities to give something back. And, you know, we've lost Annette recently, and we've gained Kelly. And, boy, it was kind of devastating to do that. But if we had lost that 7 years ago, it would have been a big loss. But today, we were able to find a person that had the qualities that we needed and a board that's already established to bring, you know, the resources of helping people facilitate their needs. And it's just a stronger organization now, so we seem to be getting stronger and stronger.
Sure, no question about that. Our listeners should know that Joe, you know, longtime businessman in terms of Lowkemper Motors, really a longtime board member of the Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation. You helped originate the group, Joe, but certainly we'll talk in a few minutes about your organization in terms of hosting the 5th Annual Great Northwest Wine Fest in Mound City, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, Joe, you mentioned Annette. Annette Weeks was really key to the whole group and moving it forward. And then as she has departed the organization, and now, Kelly, you move into it, that's succession planning for all of us, small business, in my case, university or K-12 organizations, businesses, service sector. Succession is critical. And so, Kelly, you're coming into an organization that has been built. It's been growing. It's strong today. It's got the board members that Joe's talked about that really are, you know, kind of all in, if you will. Tell us, what interested you about the Northwest Enterprise Facilitation Group?
I am a people person. I really enjoy working with individuals, and I especially like working with people that have a passion to develop or grow themselves further. So when I heard about this position, it fit right in line with my desire to help others, and that's what I've been doing in my previous career for a long time, and it's what I've most enjoyed.
Which is banking. Tell us about that a little bit.
I spent 17 years in the banking industry, started when I was in high school and worked my way up through college, and finished as a vice president and banking center manager, and really enjoyed it. It was just time for something different.
Okay, so that's something different is this facilitation and really being a facilitator. So talk about that, you know, getting your feet in the ground, and you're probably sprinting already, but talk about your role and what you're going to be bringing to the table for our communities.
We have been running, it seems like, meeting current clients and getting to know new ones already. And so it's been very exciting. Obviously, my background is banking, so I bring a strong financial background to businesses that I can really help them with. That is probably going to be my key area, but I'm learning the other aspects of the trinity of management as well, which is your marketing and your product line too. So it's been very exciting. So I'm just excited to be able to offer that financial assistance to clients that we need to help.
Okay, and your early look at it, when you talk about offering clients the trinity of management, if you will, you know, in offering your services, what kinds of people do you hope hear this kind of program, get onto the website, and really take in your services?
Anyone with an idea. It doesn't matter what kind of idea, how silly you might think it might be. If you have an idea that you think would be worth pursuing, I want you to call me because we can talk through it and work it into a business if that's what your desire is.
And really your mission in terms of Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation is to take those phone calls, have those personal visits. If I've got an idea, a dream, a vision, a crazy thought, to meet with me and talk with me and kind of take me through the process of saying, you might have something to bring to the market.
True? Absolutely, yes. Okay. It's just, yeah, I'm a business coach, so I'm going to walk you through the steps necessary, get you in touch with the right people that can make those possibilities a reality.
So what drew you to the position? You know, obviously you're successful, banking industry, you're ready for a change, but what about this group said, wow, you know, this is it?
You know, I had worked with Annette through my banking career in her capacity, and also my involvement with our Chamber of Commerce, and she just intrigued me in her ability to help businesses, and along with the board. The board is very large, 70-plus members, and I've had several people come and talk to me about Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation, and it was just such a neat group, and I wanted to be a part of it.
And again, I just want to, for our listeners' sake and all things Northwest, advocate Annette Weeks, who you say certainly has been a great friend and someone that has brought a lot to the table. And knowing Annette, as I have in my tenure here at Northwest Missouri State University, I know she's so passionate about advancing the region. And I think that's what we're all about, Joe. As you and I have talked about this previously, is this is regionalism at its best, and really us, all of us, coming together, no matter what sector we're representing, and saying we can uplift the region. Is that true?
That's true. One of the biggest attributes or biggest goals that we have, particularly with Cali being new, is those of us on the board that have been there a long time don't want to take for granted that our first primary job is to introduce her to people. And it is, you know, we don't run billboards, we don't run advertisement, we don't buy any advertising. It's basically word of mouth, and it's out at the grassroots level. And you know, Kelly, with the background in banking and having the passion, are just, you know, she was just an absolutely perfect fit for what we were looking for. And it just seems like everything that has happened to this group has grown from the passion of either the facilitator or the people on the board, and we have continued to attract better and stronger and more board members on board. We actually have another area to the east of us that wants us to mentor their group right now. So Northwest Missouri, six counties, you know, could soon become 10 or 12, and the whole region starts to follow this business model. The nice thing about these other regions is if Kelly's willing and if the board has the time and puts in it the patience, we can continue to grow not just our six counties, but other counties too, and everybody gains. I mean, yes. The whole state comes up.
So. As one county grows, other counties, we grow together,
right? We grow together, that's
and
true.
And so, Joe, you mentioned the board members and the growth. Kelly, you've got, I think you mentioned 75 or 80. So, Joe, from your perspective, what's the role of a board member for Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation?
Well, we all have... In the Trinity of Management, we all have some degree of expertise. We have knowledge about things in other communities that can be brought to bear to help the people. One of the premises we have is that from the standpoint of management, from the standpoint of marketing, the standpoint of accounting, nobody does all three really like an expert. So as we present the client's case and we say, what do they need? You know, you may have a college professor over here. You may have a banker over here. You may have a person over here that knows knitting. You may have somebody over here who knows dog care. But you have such a vast variety that even if the people on our board don't know, they know somebody in the region that does. And obviously the people who are surviving in the region are the successful ones. So you only gain the positive stuff that's the information that's helpful. And it doesn't exist in all the small towns. It may exist in St. Joe or Kansas City, but there's a lot of services, even in Maryville, that don't exist. And there's a lot of projects that are being facilitated now that are just, they're small things, and they won't be big, but they'll be good and be wholesome, and there'll be jobs in the community that will fulfill people's dreams. And that's, you know, that's something that's been lacking. There's not been, you know, the bankers don't really hook into these people. They say, bring me a business model or bring [S2] Right. [S1] Me a business plan. And the guy really doesn't know how to make a business plan. I mean, I've seen people give me business plans that are $1 million worth of cost to develop something that's got a $20,000 gross revenue. And people don't know. But, you know, we don't tell them that's not good. We bring them the coaching, and we try to modify the plans and bring it into realistic parts. And sometimes we have to study, is there actually a market for it? And, you know, this town might have a market, and this town might not. So people give their opinion. They don't disagree. They don't argue. It's all positive information, and it's passed over to Kelly, and Kelly goes back to people. And then, you know, she even gives us awards if we introduce her to more people. So we bring a lot of fun into it, too. And I just think everyone that's on the board feels very gratified when they see the results. And we've been there for 7 years, so we do have proven results of businesses that are there. And those become cheerleaders for us, too. And we just see growth in all the communities. Not huge growth, but instead of going down, we're going up. And that's a yard marker. We actually have a yardstick of successes that we've had. It's very good input, satisfaction from what we're doing.
Important to have those metrics. And, Kelly, you've got these 75, 80 board members. So I would suspect one of your first tasks, get to know the board members and what skills and competencies they bring to the table.
Absolutely.
And so As you think about those skills, those competencies that the board members bring, and then obviously linking up with those that have ideas, whether, Joe, you mentioned knitting and, you know, whatever the idea might be, maybe explain for our listeners of All Things Northwest, what are some, I don't want to put this, some key themes that you see across individuals that have ideas? Is it passion? Is it a good idea? Is it a solid business background? What's in a person's mind that you see across individuals that can get out there and get a product and get it developed?
Usually it's a skill or something that they have produced or do very well. So it's typically your technicians that are very passionate about what they do, and they want to no longer work for someone else. They want to make it their own. And that is just one area. But that's in the last month, that's what I've seen.
Right. So I might have a particular skill in something. I may not have that business mindset or the promotional mindset, but your ability is to come out and facilitate with me and say, okay, I get your product. I think we can help you in terms of taking your product and bringing it to market and promoting it, selling it, et cetera.
That's yes.
Great. Well, let me transition. And, Joe, we've got the Great Northwest Wine Fest coming up. It's later on here in September. And maybe talk about the date, talk about its why it exists, what it's all about. So how did the Wine Fest come about?
Well, in 2005, the Mountain City Development Corporation got together with one of the instructors over here at Northwest by the name of Carrie Stroberg. And we had made some trips to some vineyards and some wineries. And we asked Carrie, he said, do you know anything about planting a vineyard? And he says, not much, but I think I can help you. I'll give you some pointers. And he came over. And he laid out, basically in my backyard by the golf course, he laid out about 2 acres of grapes and a plan to do it and varieties and everything. It gave us a great deal of information. We planted the grapes, and the next year we planted more grapes, and the next year we planted more grapes, to now we have over 2,000 grape plants on 5 acres that are producing, in the last few years, like 10 tons. So we're producing 20,000 pounds of grapes. And it's not really capacity of what we expected, but it's more than anybody else that we know growing. So it's been very successful. It's been a source of community pride. And as it turns out, when Enterprise Facilitation came up about a year later, we needed a fundraiser. And Marilyn Aldrich and the board said, well, why don't we do a wine festival? And we actually planned to do it at Big Lake. That was in 2010, and the flood wiped it out. So it ended up in the park beside the vineyard. And this will be the sixth year, I believe, isn't it? The sixth year for it. It's by the vineyard. There's been students come over from Northwest and stomp the grapes. We always have grape stomping, and then they said, we're marking that off of our bucket list. We've had student groups from over here on campus who have come for fundraisers, picking opportunities. We've had our local girls volleyball team. We've had Highland Community College volleyball team. We've had a conservation group from Missouri Western. So, you know, college groups a lot of time have a hard time finding a fundraiser.
Right.
So they can come and in a few hours make anywhere from $200 to $1,000, depending on how much they pick and you know, how good the grapes are. This year they're not that great, but it's settled in that park beside us, and people have come forth, and they have vendors that come. Musicians from all over are coming and perform. We have 8 wineries coming right now. Of those 8 wineries, I believe 3 of them have bought grapes from our vineyard. 2 of those wineries have won Governor's Cups with the grapes they've got from us. So we feel like for a very, very small business, we can kind of be an incubator there of people looking at Northwest Missouri as having an opportunity like the Napa Valley in California, if you would, although, you know, we run into some problems with sprays on the farmers, but those are all chemical things that can be dealt with, and technology can take care of that. But the Great Northwest Wine Festival will be September 27th, and from the first year we did it, we opened up at 2 and planned to close at 6, and of course we have some fast food restaurants there in Mountain City. They're right off the interstate, and we had signs up that there was a wine festival in town, and people were coming by starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, and they, you know, why aren't you open? Why aren't you open? So the second year, we opened up at noon and ran till 8 o'clock, and by 2 o'clock in the second year, we'd had more people than we had the whole previous year, and it has just grown and grown and grown. I think the expectation is over 3,000 people to come. in that time frame, which for Mound City is pretty much overwhelming. But, you know, we had a big truck and tractor pull there this summer, had over 6,000 people. So we do have facilities that will accommodate things of that type, and it's nice to have the ambiance of the, if you will, the vineyard beside it, and people can actually go out and pick if, you know, if they're still some left by that time, they can go out and pick grapes. Surprising when people come and pick, they go, well, we've never done anything like that. And I can remember when I was a kid, everybody had them in their backyard, but you don't have that anymore. So a throwback to, you know, no technology to grow it, but it's uncanny that, you know, we've gone to the university and got the data and the information to take a small acreage and have it produce a lot. And, you know, your production per acre is much, much higher on grapes than what it is on corn and soybeans. But your concentration of labor is incredibly higher, too. Mm-hmm. But you have a personal satisfaction in doing that also. So it gets down to the passion that we have. We've done it for about 10 years now, and we'd like to pass that on. So we're looking for somebody who'd like to either rent that vineyard or make it a project. You know, if Northwest wants to have mm-hmm. a project to train students and expand the business, we'll partner in with you. We'll bring, you know, 7 or 10 years of investment with you, and would love to partner with anyone who would like to expand that and possibly develop the winery concept also.
Well, it's tremendous. And listeners listening to All Things Northwest here on KXCV KRNW, Joe Lowkemper from Northwest Missouri Enterprise Fund Facilitation, but also talking about the Great Northwest Wine Fest, and Kelly Morris from the Facilitation Group, who's new to the group. But listeners, if you can't tell that Joe's not passionate about the Great Northwest Wine Fest, I think it does come through here on the radio. But Joe, you talk about September 27th. You've moved the start time back to 12 noon. So many people will be there. Great, great activities. Kind of talk about all the activities that go into it. You mentioned music and all some other activities. Talk some other things.
There's music. There's artists. There's all kinds of vendors. There's crafts. There's food vendors. Very selective in the food vendors they have. They'll have between 4 and 5 vendors. But you actually have Windy Wine Company coming out of Osborne, who also raises Red Angus beef, and they will have their own beef there, which is, you know, fresh beef, as good a high-quality beef as you would have, and they'll be preparing it certain ways for people. You will have musicians of about every kind. The interesting thing about some of the vendors, last year we had an artist who, in my lifetime, was probably one of the most talented artists to come out of Northwest Missouri, a man by the name of Jim Pettyjohn. And he had been a pilot for airlines for years, and he retired. And he'd go to art shows all over the country. And one day he walked in the store, and I said, "You still doing art?" And he said, "Well, I'm getting a little shaky, but, you know, I may do one more." I said, "Well, come to the wine festival." And it was like a rock star came to that festival last year. And he had carvings that he brought that he'd personally done. Of course, he'd sold most everything like a month before at an Overland Park art festival. But an incredible artist that just showed up kind of, well, he told us he was coming, but brought his art. And anybody from the region that knew him came, and they had a visit with him. And then he said, "I sold more there than I did at the big art shows." And he was a good artist. But, you know, when you throw him in with hundreds of other people walk by and they don't really, you know, they don't buy anything because they don't know what's good or not. But he just stood out outstanding from the standpoint of carvings as well as the various types of art that he did. And he was a great friend to come back. He was an old Holt County boy from 60 years ago. And it was kind of his last shot at it. But we greatly appreciate him coming. And, he sold lots and lots of stuff. And all the vendors that come have interesting. We have people who have beehives, and they'll have there, and they'll have their bees unless it's too cold. They'll have their bees there in the hive cut away, and people can see the bees actually working. But a lot of things of just regional human interest, and almost everything is from the region. So,
well, I know our listeners of KXCV KRNW and All Things Northwest really understand the importance of regionalism, of the strength of the region. They look for events such as the Great Northwest Wine Fest, Saturday, September 27th, from noon until 8 is what we're being told, but, you know, people might get there a little bit before noon, may stay a little after 8. It's also not a home football game for Northwest Missouri State University, I notice.
Well, it has always been up until this time, the first weekend in October, And out of respect for the Bearcats, and also due to the fact that we have a very high percentage of board members on our board from the Bearcat faculty, it was a unanimous decision that we would move it a week up.
Well, not a bad decision, but, you know, all jokes aside, listeners, looking for things to do, this really is a hallmark event. Again, Saturday, September 27th. How does one get tickets for that, Joe?
There are no advance tickets, so you show up at the door, and we've got a large number of people who will be taking tickets, so we don't anticipate lines there, although we have had lines, and obviously if we have 3,000 people, we are expanding the area in the park each year. We've expanded probably at least a third per year. I would tell a person, you know, you can come early and then you can come back. You can come and go. You will be tagged in a certain way, so you can come and go. So, you know, you can come and spend an hour, see what's there, call your friends and bring them. The nice thing about 8 hours and in the region we're in, people can go and come and go and come, but it's at the gate.
Okay, and that's at Griffith Park in Mound City. And Kelly, kind of back to you in terms of wrapping this segment up. You know, as you listen to Joe and sense the excitement that the great Northwest Wine Fest will bring to our region, that's one of many examples where it grew from an idea, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got this event that really is a hallmark event of the fall. So looking forward, Kelly, in the Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation, what are your hopes for, you know, the next, you know, a lot of us have, you know, 60, 90-day plans, 180-day. But as you look ahead to the next year, two, three, if you come back to the program, what do you hope to be talking about if we're having back here on All Things Northwest?
You know, I think just reaching out to one entrepreneur at a time, you know, focusing on me being a known resource in the communities that they just automatically know to call Kelly, and she can help you with those kind of business needs. So that's really my goal right now, is to just get out in the communities that we serve, make sure people know who I am and what we're all about, and help those that want to move forward in their careers. So hopefully next year or then a year after that, we'll be talking about 20 more people that we've helped or 50 more people that we've helped, and just keep growing that number.
Well, I love that. One entrepreneur at a time. And Kelly Morris, thank you for joining the team and for what you do for the region, what you will do for the region. Really appreciate your leadership and taking on the mantle of leadership. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Joe, thank you. You know, as I think about your longtime service to our region, your commitment to our region, not just through these activities, but so many other activities. I just, on behalf of so many other people, thank you for what you do for our region.
Well, thank you for what you do for our region also.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Again, listeners, that's Kelly Morris, Joe Lowkemper, Northwest Missouri Enterprise Facilitation, and also talking about Missouri's great Northwest Wine Festival on Saturday, September 27th, 2014. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB KRNW.
Underwriting support for All Things Northwest is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz.
Many students who graduate from Northwest are very successful. Kansas City's Mix 93.3 on-air personality and KCWE-TV host Steve Serrano is one of them. Serrano credits the hands-on experience he received at Northwest.
I was really able to get started and do what I really wanted to do in the broadcasting field right off the bat, right when I was a freshman.
You can listen to Serrano weeknights on Kansas City's Mix 93.3.
Support for All Things Northwest is provided in part by the Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments, which offers programming, products, and services to its member governments in Atchison, Holt, Gentry, Nottoway, and Worth counties. More at nwmorcog.org.
Northwest Missouri State offers a variety of business majors. That's one reason senior international business major Michael McVenue chose to come to Northwest Missouri State.
The business program out here is really good. There's some smart people, people from all around the world that come here, great experience. Most of them have had business experience, so what better way to learn how to run a business than from someone that has been in a business?
McVenue will graduate December 2014.
Welcome back to the September edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Dr. Tim Motte and Dr. Tyler Tapps. Tim is provost, that's a chief academic officer at Northwest Missouri State University. He's a higher education leader, has a record of success in developing high-performing educators, being fiscally responsible and innovative in revenue generation, administering strategic planning processes, and building consensus. Tim comes to Northwest with great background. We're so pleased to have him join the Northwest team. Tyler Tapps is a Northwest alumnus. He's the recipient of our 2012 Young Alumni Award and now is coming back to Bearcat Nation from Oklahoma State University. Tyler has been awarded the Robert Crawford Young Professional Award from the National Parks and Recreation Association and joins our Northwest family as a faculty member in our recreation program. Tim, Tyler, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, John.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, here it is, early September, and our listeners are, going into that fall season, and they're saying, what's happening at Northwest Missouri State? And I can say, All Things Northwest listeners, there's a lot of things happening at Northwest Missouri State, and they're good. I'll tell you what, we've been off to a great, great start this academic year. We're welcoming 30 new faculty to our ranks and our new chief academic officer. So I'll start with this for both of you. Why Northwest? Tim?
Well, I went to school here in 1980 and 81, and I had very fond memories, and I attribute much of what's happened to me since then to what I learned at Northwest. And so I was looking through the Chronicle of Higher Ed and saw a job posting for Northwest Missouri State University and started reading it. And I said, this sounds like a job I would be interested in. But it ultimately brings me back to where I started. And there was a connection to that, and I wanted to kind of go back and make a contribution.
And you're from Iowa originally.
I am from Iowa.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of a coming home, and Northwest is where I learned to believe in myself, and that was a real turning point in my life, so coming back was easy.
And our listeners should know, too, that Dr. Motte has been a faculty member, department chair, dean, and so on. So he's been in the classroom. He understands for what Northwest is all about, mm-hmm. and we're so pleased to have you aboard, Tim.
Thank you.
Tyler, you're coming back to Northwest. You've been here. You've got some family ties and so on in terms of Bearcats. Oklahoma State University, Northwest Missouri State University. Why Northwest?
To piggyback a little bit, I'm also from Iowa originally, and I always tell people that I was lucky enough to have bad enough luck somewhere else to come to Northwest and find who I am. It literally changed my life and how the path that I was on. I was lucky enough to find a program that I fell in love with and then pursued that through my graduate work and then had a chance to work as a faculty member and educate and also as an executive director of a center and get some practical experience and some administrational experience that I think was very beneficial. Why I came back, obviously the geographical location for me is home, but more importantly, it's the mission, student success. You know, every student, every day, you can't find a better business model to take practical experience and apply it to students in a classroom. It's about as fitting as you can get.
Well, that's pretty inspirational for me to hear. We talk to our listeners here on All Things Northwest a lot about Northwest's mantra, student success, focusing on student success, every student, every day. That's our mission. And, for a new faculty member to recite that and say, hey, that's what juices you, in terms of getting up in the, every day and getting into that classroom. So, again, welcome to you, Tyler, as well. Tim, leadership-wise,
yep.
If you think about your leadership model and what you bring to the table, what's important? You're a chief academic officer. We call that here at Northwest a provost, and the joke is always, what does a provost
right.
do? But you're a chief academic officer. You lead the faculty. You really drive the whole thrust behind curriculum and making sure that we're on the cutting edge. What's on your leadership mantle? What's important to you as a leader?
Well, I think I want to go back to the first question. Having worked at other universities, as I was looking, you know, more seriously at Northwest as a potential employer, the strategic plan of this university was just being developed and unveiled, and I became aware of that strategic plan. And I've worked for institutions without a plan, and so why Northwest was to looking at that strategic plan and going back to a clear vision and mission and a very clear idea of where this institution is going. So I was attracted to an institution who had an idea of who it is and where it is going. In terms of being a provost, I've got some themes that resonate with me that I've been sharing with people. I believe in a comprehensive teaching university and the whole idea of this institution being focused on teaching. I'm attracted to that. My goal as a provost is I take great pride wherever I've been. I strive to continue the elevation of the academic culture and the academic programming at an institution. And I believe the chief academic officer is responsible for making sure that there is a continual focus on the academics and the programming and doing all we can to make sure that the quality of that programming is where it needs to be. So elevation of what we currently have, and it's important to state that it's continuing the elevation of academic culture and programming. The people here have been working on this for years. They know what they're doing. And it's just my coming in, offering another perspective and moving that a little bit higher. The other one is important to me is that the people that I work with are engaged in meaningful work. If you're engaged in meaningful work, you're going to come to work. And I've worked with people who are in jobs that are not meaningful, and I prefer to be around people who are engaged in meaningful work. So I strive to help people be engaged in meaningful work. And then finally, going back to this idea of the strategic plan, I want to help Northwest evolve. We work and live and teach and learn in a new higher ed environment. And that is quickly evolving, and I have some ideas of that evolution process, and I would like to be a part of that.
Well, Tim, you've been aboard here now for, you know, almost 2 months. I know it seems hard to believe, but there's no question that you've been able to message that to our faculty and to so many others, community members, a variety of leaders regionally, statewide, et cetera. And, you know, the whole focus on teaching and really delivering that curriculum, elevating what we already do and what we've done for so long. And we talk about across the institution that, you know, enrollment is up at Northwest Missouri State. Our retention figures are up at Northwest Missouri State. We've launched, are now in the execution phase of our strategic plan. We've also been blessed to have our foundation board move us along on a comprehensive, what many people would call a capital campaign. So a lot of synergy, a lot of convergence, and what's on the top of your leadership list certainly makes sense. Tyler, if I can come back over to you and say, so from a faculty walking into the classroom perspective, what's important to you as you walk into that classroom and you want students to see out of you up there in terms of the role model and really the, not so much the sage in the stage, which is probably the old model of teaching, obviously, but rather the disseminator, the one that the facilitator in terms of knowledge?
For me, something that I pride myself on is really the two things that I can control every time I walk into a class. My dad told me this. Positive attitude and work ethic. Everything else, if I can control those two things, showing up and being an active member in class, those types of things help facilitate, in my opinion, a good atmosphere or environment. What I enjoy is being able, at the point in my career now, being able to pull in practical experiences that I've had a wonderful opportunity all over the country to experience and come in and discuss them from using theories and things like that and see the students go, I'm ready to go apply these when they go do their field experiences and their internships. We were talking about internships earlier, and it made me think a little bit about Missouri, especially in the northwest part of Missouri, all of the wonderful opportunities there are for specifically our students to go out and find those experiences.
Well, and Tyler, you talk about experiences. You have a military background, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so talk about that and its influence in terms of the classroom.
Time management, number one, was very important for me at the time. And to this day, it's been a vital piece to my success and my failures, so to speak. I learned in particular that producing a product was much more valuable than potential. And for me, that meant, it didn't mean maybe paperwork, but what that meant is at the end of the day, I've achieved all that I could. I put forth all of my effort. Here's what I have to offer, whether it's a teammate as a Northwest faculty or in whatever roles that I choose, that I've done what I can to be a productive member.
Okay. And you mentioned the whole, you know, conversion of theory to practical and getting students out into field experiences. How important is it? I think sometimes people that are not connected to higher education and don't understand the flow sometimes have maybe a different model than what Northwest Missouri State certainly is all about today, because, boy, we can get the theory out there, but we're focused on the practical side and hands-on side. Talk about that a little bit.
I think it's a vital piece, especially in our profession, or in my opinion, in any profession, not only from the significance of being able to apply the knowledge that you have in classroom, service learning-based activities, or what we would call experiential learning, but it also, especially with in areas like this, in a rural community, in farming country, things like that, you develop awesome networks with community members, partnerships with communities. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, it's a lot of it's public entities, municipalities, state, you know, funded agencies, things like that. So those are very important to get our students the experience and the networking and the connections to people who are out there doing great, great things throughout the state.
Tim, when Tyler's talking about those connections and really the applied learning piece behind all of this, kind of describe for our listeners what you see as kind of the sea change in education, but especially higher education. You've been around for a while, and you know, you're very experienced in terms of helping guide curriculum and matching up to industry needs and all of that. But I think perhaps it's a little different here in 2014 and moving forward. Talk about that and what you see on the horizon a little bit.
Well, one of the another attraction to Northwest that I see since I've been here is I think we keep it real. We're an institution. I think we hire folks who not only have the academic training, but they have field-based experience or work experience. So when they come into the classroom, they can be theoretical when they need to be, but I think they bridge that theory with practice, and I think they do that very well. They've been in the trenches, and so they know how that theory bridges with the practice. I think that the future of higher ed is moving, and it's having more of a considering the outcome, the product of developing skills that are transferable across the workplace, the families, the communities, and so I think it's important for faculty to use their content to ultimately reach the skills that will be transferable and that will benefit a student and a citizen and an employee and a family member and allowing him or her to make a pretty significant contribution. But I do believe the business of higher ed is going to be different, and I think that higher ed has to pay attention to what's going on with families who are working, non-traditional learners, and adapt to making sure we have the right academic programs delivered in the right mode and delivery systems, pricing them of a high value, and being sensitive to all that, and maintaining the academic quality and integrity of all those programs.
Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV Care on W. I'm your host, John Jasinski, talking this today with Tim Mote. He's the new provost at Northwest Missouri State University, and Tyler Tapps, a new faculty member at Northwest Missouri State. Tim, you're really mentioning the whole higher education model, and as you think about the next 90 days, the next 180 days of your tenure here at Northwest Missouri State, you know, what are your goals? Because, you know, you're getting acclimated, you're meeting people But there's so much more. So what do you hope to accomplish here by the end of the calendar year, we'll say?
I've been giving this some thought. I think I've got four verbs that kind of describe what I consider to be my path for the next couple of months. One is learning more about Northwest and its people and its program. Number two, partnering, learning where the partnerships are currently, where the partnerships need to be. And reaching out to community, reaching out to the North Kansas City area, the St. Joseph area, the Northwest community, and finding the partnerships. Number three is focusing on our strategic plan and helping my team and faculty focus our activities. And then finally, it's executing our plan. And one of the things that I've noticed that I think is important to Northwest, I see it as an outsider coming in, is I've learned very quickly that we've got working, this goes back to the applied nature of what we do here. We have a working school, we have a working farm, we have a center for innovation and entrepreneurship, we have a public radio station, we have an advertising agency. We have created these laboratories on our campus. When I hear students talking about internships, our students don't need to leave the campus. We bring the internships to them. We've got these working labs that are a part of this community. And I see a huge potential in areas to develop the working labs that are a part. That is, those labs are important to us as a science lab over in Garrett Strong Science Building. So. I'm seeing all of that as a real testament to our hands-on, keep-it-real approach to higher ed.
Well, you said it quite well and described Northwest for our listeners, and I think it's very important that we all understand that those hands-on experiences are crucial for the ultimate success of our students. Tyler, when you think about success of students and the success of new faculty members, you look ahead to January. And here you're just getting off the ground on your first term here, first trimester. But if you think about January and the end of the fall trimester, what do you hope to accomplish this trimester?
Well, for me, it's mastering some online courses, being able to see where my place is, not only with our program in our department, and to try and facilitate whatever I can do to help implement the strategic plan and try to evolve in that manner, and also commit to the high level of learning or education that we provide for our students, and to really focus on, for myself, I like to use the word streamlining, but getting my classes aligned with so that my research and my teaching are all kind of lining up for the benefit of the student's sake.
That's great. Well, when you guys think about Bearcats and what a Bearcat is all about, now, Tyler, you've been a Bearcat. Tim, you've been a Bearcat.
Yep.
So you've been Bearcats, but now that you're back, when someone says Bearcat, what comes to your mind?
You know, it's. I mentioned this the other day, and I gave a student worker in my office a task. And I said, I don't know. I said, I have no idea how to do this. Can you do this? I think he's a junior, and he accomplished it, and it was great. And I said, leave that to a Midwesterner to pull that off. So I think it's this this ability, it's a work ethic. A Bearcat is a thoughtful person with a work ethic, a curious, polite and courteous, and they're driven by dreams and have a purpose, and they're here to make that a reality.
That's beautiful, because as our listeners know, those community partnerships, the partnerships help bring that reality to light for our students. That's our job each and every day. Tyler, Bearcat, what's that mean?
Being a Bearcat to me is a culture, past, present, and future. It's in my opinion, it's evolving into something that I could never possibly imagine. How positive it can be right now. It's seeing people succeed. I've lived it. This is my dream. I mean, this is my dream job. I'm living my dream. And when I stand in classes in front of students and I look out and I go, every single one of you has an opportunity here to succeed and live your dream. And it's an honor to just be around it. just walking over here, being on campus. I get to live it every day on campus.
Again, from my perch, that's beautiful because a dream job and getting to live it each and every day, you know, that's what makes Northwest very special. I know our listeners, you all love to come to the Missouri Arboretum and walk through campus and partake in the variety of activities. You listen to our great public radio station, KXCB KRNW, and, you know, this place is special because of leadership like yours, Tim. And Tyler, you represent so many faculty, not just the new faculty, but so many faculty that bring it to our students each and every day. Tyler, we know that you've been awarded the Robert Crawford Young Professional Award from the National Parks and Recreation Association. It's a national award. It's a big deal. You'll be receiving that here pretty shortly. Talk about that award and its importance.
I'm pretty excited about it. There are a lot of candidates who are worthy, and I was actually quite surprised. I'll be receiving it in Charlotte here in October. Robert Crawford was born and raised in Iowa, and he was also a veteran, just like myself. So I've read a lot of his works, just coming up as a student, and then with the ability to get involved at the national level and serve on some committees there, I had an opportunity to really get a grasp of what his mission and vision was for park and rec professionals. And something he really talked about was professionalism, integrity, and public service. And when I design all of my classes or anything that I do, educationally speaking, I always use those as tenets in those classes because of Robert Crawford. He was kind of an idol of mine. I never had a chance to meet him, but my mentor during my doctoral program did get a chance, and I had a really great opportunity to do a lot of reading, and it's one of my regrets not meeting him, but I'm super honored, and it's going to be a tremendous night, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, we congratulate you for that award. Dr. Tim Motte, Dr. Tyler Tapps, thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Kelly Morris and Joe Lokemper, as well as Tim Motte and Tyler Tapps. Thanks, too, to our producer, Ben Nully, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCV station manager, Rodney Harris. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV, KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More on Facebook at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Nolley. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.